Et Naim, Nikki Yasam Hilo, Nikki Machuptamaidu. Hello, everyone. My name is Hilo, and I'm Machuptamaidu. We acknowledge and are mindful that Chico State stands on lands that were originally occupied by the first people of this area, the Machupta, and we recognize their distinctive spiritual relationship with this land and the waters that run through campus. We are humbled that our campus resides upon sacred lands that have sustained the Machupta people for centuries and continue to do so today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of our podcast. We are First Generation One of Many, and our mission is to create an archive of discussions with and about First Generation student experiences in and out of the classroom. We hope to continue raising awareness and understanding, provide voice for students and alum, as well as present resources for faculty, staff, and students working for and collaborating with First Generation students. So again, my name is Teresa, and I'm here with my co-host, Joshua Whittinghill. Hi, Josh. Long time no see. How are you doing today?
Yeah, doing great today. Yeah, it has been too long. We saw each other quite a bit there for a few days. But yeah. When the semester here at Chico State started up. But now it's rolling and don't necessarily get to touch base. Mm-hmm. So this is another wonderful episode we have planned. We have some guests from outside of California today, which is a great addition to our podcast. We're trying to add more of that so we can hear from more people around the country to be able to share widely more of what's going on and some of the different things we're doing, but also then, of course, some of the extreme similarities that we're doing when working with first-generation students. So we'll start off with a couple of quotes that I found from two first-generation students who have graduated in the past few years. The first is from Marlene Castro, a graduate from UC Berkeley, and she said, being a first-generation student means that they're taking risks, stepping outside of their comfort zone, and doing something they've never seen anyone in their family do before. Right, that's straight to the point. It does help sum it up and get some insight. I know as I meet more people in higher education working either student affairs or academic affairs side and with students that they are still just learning more about first generation students and what they're bringing to the classrooms and to the campuses. And so that's a great quote to really drive that idea home and understanding. Next is a quote from Shukri Wyatt, a graduate from UCLA. And they say, I wasn't the first one in my family to decide to go to college. I was the first one who had the opportunity. And I think that really does sum up a lot of what we're learning now also with students coming into college, that it's not that their families didn't want to. It was that a lot of their families didn't have the chance or opportunity at the time to be able to do that. So let's jump right into our guests who will then help us explore more of these quotes and then share some of their information about what they're doing and their journey into and through higher education. So first we have Dina Weitraub Stafford. Dina serves as director with the Center for First Generation Student Success at NASPA, Student Affairs Administrators in Higher Education. She's also responsible for the center's external presence, including marketing and communication strategy and virtual professional development offerings, the nation's first recognition program, First Gen Forward, and the National First Generation College Celebration in a partnership with the Council for Opportunity in Education. Dina has over 10 years of experience in higher education within academic and student affairs and athletics, and is deeply passionate about promoting student success. Welcome, Dina.
Thank you, Josh and Teresa. It's really wonderful to be here.
Yeah, I have to admit, though, this episode probably wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for Dina. Fortunately, I was able to be accepted and present at the First Generation Student Success Conference earlier this year. And in that, Dina, we met as she was the guide for my session, if you will. And then we had a great conversation after and have been touching base and really developed a good relationship and thought, hey, let's do an episode on this. And so with her effort and energy, we get to move forward with it. And she was able to get our next guest to join us.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for that. All right. So it's my pleasure to introduce our next guest. So today with us, we have Claude Taylor. Claude serves as Director for Academic Transition and Inclusion at Monmouth University in New Jersey and as a lecturer in the Department of Communication. Claude leads the campus-wide initiative First to Fly, first generation at Monmouth designed to offer academic, social, and personal support for students who identify as first generation. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Claude.
Thank you for having me. This is a really exciting opportunity. I'm glad to join you. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Perfect. I'm excited to have met both of you today and to get to know a little bit more about you both. So to start us off for us and our listeners, can you both tell us a little bit about your journey into higher education? And if you don't mind, Claude, we'll go ahead and start with you.
Oh, I'm happy to. So, again, thank you for the opportunity to join this conversation. What a great platform for exploring all things first gen on your campus, but then, as Josh mentioned, being able to sort of circle out and extend to other parts of the country. So I'm joining you from New Jersey. I am identified as a first generation graduate. And so my journey through higher education is an interesting one that starts really with my experience of undergraduate education. So I was an undergraduate student at Westchester University of Pennsylvania, which is one of the state colleges in Pennsylvania, one of the state universities in PA. And it was a really transformative experience for me. And in hindsight, I think part of what was so special about it for me, and it was special because of my opportunities to grow and learn and really develop a sense of lifelong learning and looking at education as a means to success and a life of meaning. Part of that really is because it was a public university. And so as a K-12 experience, I was in private school. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. And then I went to Westchester, and as a public institution, I think it was the best fit for me as an institution. And I tell my students now that, like, I really do attribute my growth and success as a student and the work that I'm doing now to this experience in a public institution that really helped me to make sense of what it means to be the child of working class parents, right? So my mom was an immigrant from the Caribbean, so I claim West Indian heritage. My dad's from North Carolina, the American South. And so I, really, as a first-gen student at a public institution, was able to really link up with other first-gen students and working-class students and so students who, understood how critical a solid undergraduate education is and would be for the next phases of their life, but also in terms of contributing for their families. So fast forward now to Monmouth. So I joined the faculty at Monmouth in 2005. So I come to first gen support from the academic faculty side, actually. So in 2005, I started as a lecturer in communication. So my scholarly background is in rhetoric and public address and public communication. And so I was teaching courses in communication. And at Monmouth, we have a model of advising where faculty members are advisors for students, both at the first year and also within the departments. And it's through that experience of advising students that I began to contact or come into contact with first generation students in my classes, in my as part of my departmental advising, and then also through the first year advising program we have here. And so I'm very fortunate to have been so selected, identified as a person who had some advanced advising abilities to lead the initiatives for first-gen students at Monmouth, which we launched in 2017. So right around the time the center was established was the time that we started to really intentionally and deliberately build out first-generation student support, because at Monmouth, or in our incoming class over several years, we found out that roughly 38 to 42% of our incoming class identifies first gen, or at least we've identified them as first generation. And so there was a real pressing need to build out support for first gen students there. So I'm very fortunate that I have classroom contact with students, but then also work in the Center for Student Success here at Monmouth, building out initiatives for and programming for first gen students, which I will talk about in just a bit.
Yeah, that is a quite the journey. But a couple of questions that pop up for me to kind of follow up to help listeners. One, when you were a student, did you have discussions, or were there talks, or did you meet other first generation students while you were an undergrad? Mm-hmm. Or was it something that just didn't come about during that time? And then the second question is to help, what is the student population at Monmouth?
Okay, so back to me, I don't think when I was in undergrad in the late 80s, early 90s, I don't remember us having the vocabulary or language of first generation at that time. To me, I think it was about it was conversations about class and access, and what students who were continuing education students, what they seemed to know about how to get from, entry or the beginning of their program to the end, persisting to graduation. I actually was in college at the time when administrators told students to look to their left and look to their right, and, two or three of you won't be here, after the first or second year. And thankfully that's changed quite a bit. But, so in terms of first gen identity, I did not have a real strong sense of that when I was in undergrad. But as the national dialogue has evolved, that's, we've learned to put names and labels to those kinds of experiences. And then in terms of your second question, so Monmouth is a private, non-sectarian, comprehensive liberal arts university. We're in West Long Branch, New Jersey, which is about a mile and a half from the coast, at the Atlantic Ocean. And we have approximately 4,600 undergraduates. Monmouth is a PWI. It's a predominantly white institution. And as I mentioned earlier, we've consistently seen a roughly 40% of our incoming student class as first gen.
Great. Yeah, I like you mentioned that the moving away from deficit framework to really gets first generation students then in a weird mindset of this fear and like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do to make sure I don't be the one who disappears from this? And so now it's, hey, look to your left, look to your right. Most of the people around you are going to be here when you all graduate together.
And we're invested in it too. So institutionally, we're invested in your success, which means we're here with you and trying to be as student ready as we can be when you here, and incorporate your families too. So I look forward to talking about ways we sort of work to incorporate families into the success.
Excellent. I'll add real quickly before we jump to hear from Dina that buy-in or that sort of investment by the campus, I've seen over the last 20 years a nice change that more students then are invested in supporting each other who are first generation. So it really does extend out from just what programs are trying to do. That's great. Dina.
Thank you.
Let's learn about you.
Claude, I love learning that about you, and the fact that I completed my master's degree at Slippery Rock University. So I share the affinity for the Pennsylvania State higher education system. So my background in maneuvering higher education started on the athletic side. I came to the U.S. from Canada, the Great North, to play college soccer. And through my undergraduate experience, I knew I wanted to always get back to a sport that provided so many amazing opportunities to me and influence future professionals. And so after I finished my undergrad and then went on to complete my master's, I had an opportunity to become a graduate assistant with a women's soccer program at Slippery Rock University in Western PA. And then navigated through athletics. And in order to navigate through athletics, you have to move a lot. And I did just that. I was able to coach soccer at Catawba College in Salisbury, North Carolina, at West Point in New York, and then last stop at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. And so at that point, student success was always at the core of the work I did. I was really fortunate as a college soccer coach to be able to work with both academic affairs and student affairs and bridge connections that were often really challenging going beyond athletics. These challenges exist today in thinking about how we support our student athletes and student and the emphasis on student first. And so in working with professors and working with the administrative side, it became clear to me that we had to do a better job of helping students understand how to navigate and then to help frame what's next. We focus a lot on the undergraduate experience in particular about what you are doing right now and your decision-making process for course selection and thinking about, you know, life beyond college or post-completion, but an area that wasn't always given the same time and space was thinking about career readiness and what that really meant as far as securing and your first employment opportunity, negotiating your salary, understanding your benefits and the selection process in medical insurance or contribution to your retirement. And so it became clear to me that my role in helping to develop students was really the holistic side of things. All through this, the term first-generation college student really wasn't a part of my vocabulary. It wasn't until, in fact, I was several years into my professional career that I really understood that I too was in that category, being an international student. And when I came to the U.S., it was very an unknown experience. I was really fortunate to have the structure in place, being a student athlete, but so many unknowns that followed that I didn't even know what questions to ask. And so as I reflected on that experience, it began to shape how I then advised and supported first generation college students when I had the opportunity. And so after being in college athletics for 6 years, I made the transition to the academic affairs side and student affairs side and worked with an amazing program at the University of Cincinnati called Gen One. And now they have an Impact House, which is a living learning community dedicated to first generation college students. And so I come to this work really with a solid understanding of the experiences across higher education in understanding athletics, academics, student affairs, and how sometimes the handshakes aren't always made. And in the handshakes not being made, we are missing ways in which we're supporting our students. And so after having worked at the University of Cincinnati, that's when I was able to join the center soon after it launched. In 2018. And so I joined the center when it was 6 months old. So I got in at a pretty early moment. And I have been there ever since. And now we get to take our work to a national scale and in some instances global in supporting the advancement of first generation student success. And we get to work with amazing folks like Claude Taylor here and Josh, we've been able to connect also. To better understand how institutions are supporting first-generation students, as well as how to advance the work that they are already doing. And we do that in a number of ways, which we'll get into in a little bit.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing all that. That's another great story to hear. And the different journeys are so different, right? And I know to be successful in our personal lives and in our work, in higher education especially, it takes a lot of different experiences and minds to be able to accomplish the things we're doing in this, what I call this global experiment is also known as education, right? So all these different things are happening and trying things out. But a couple things I wanted to follow up with real quick is, in case you're interested, episode 27, we just had about a month and a half ago or so, was on student athletes and first generation experiences. And one of our guests was the men's soccer coach from Chico State. And it was great to hear the stories from within the soccer world that he had to share about working with students and athletes in that area. And then something you mentioned that connected with what Claude was saying about coming from a family with working class parents or guardians, which many of our first generation students are doing, that a number of the things you talked about as far as benefits, retirement, healthcare, I mean, having a salary, all these things, it's sort of the hidden outcomes that a lot of the families aren't aware of and don't think about because it's not part of their experience in the work they do raising their families over the years. And so that's one that is really important that students, when they talk to their parents about, like, why they're going to college, because some parents or guardians aren't necessarily fully supportive of first generation students because their experience was, hey, you go to work, you contribute back to the family right after out of high school. And so those different experience, now you're putting it on hold for 4, 6, 8 years, depending on what you're doing with your career path. And then what I see at graduation, that I've been to a number of them the last, 15 years or so, when a student explains to their parent, hey, I got this job and my salary is blank and I get health care and I get a retirement, then the parents and grandparents and guardians are just in shock. And so it's like all of a sudden this whole world opens up and they get a whole understanding of, wow, what my kid or my grandkid just accomplished is life-changing, life-altering, that they are going to have such a different experience. Because many of them, that's what their goal is. Like, they want their kids to have a different life than they had to have to go through. So thanks for sharing all that. That's really great. Teresa.
Yeah, thank you. I loved hearing about your trajectories into higher education. And I know, apart from the many efforts you both have worked towards within that field, I know you're, like we mentioned before in your bios, you're each leading your own efforts. And I was hoping to hear a little bit more about that. And if you could expand on the programs you're working with and what they're currently doing. And Claude, if you're free, you'd like to start.
Thanks, Teresa.
In other words, Claude,
yes,
be the first to fly.
First to fly, right on. So, I'd love to talk about this evolving project here at Monmouth called First to Fly, First Generation at Monmouth, because it is, I embody sort of the face of it on campus, but it really is at its core a community effort within our campus community. So First to Fly is a campus-wide initiative designed to support and celebrate students and families who identify as first generation. And I think one of the guiding questions from the very beginning, as I mentioned earlier, I was sort of appointed to this position, and it's a bit of a hybrid within academic affairs, because I do programming and sort of work on initiatives, but also have classroom instructional duties as well. But one of the guiding questions has been from the beginning, how best can we be ready for our students, or how best can we be student ready? And part of what animates or informs that question is the realization that, we sort of heard the discourse around first generation percolating around and through higher education in the early 2000s and sort of into the middle part of the 2000s. And when we as an institution started to really look closely at our incoming class demographics, it became abundantly clear that we've had like this significant percentage of our students who are first in their families to go to college. And so what we responded to was developing initiatives to address that sort of umbrella concept of first to go to college. And over time, how First to Fly has evolved is that we really moved into unpacking that or disaggregating this sort of umbrella term first generation, and really looking closely at the intersectional identities that comprise what it means to be first gen. So we're really interrogating the term, right? And by doing that, then we realize there's a lot more to do to meet students where they are and be ready for them, be receptive for their success. And so here are some of the key components of the First to Fly initiatives. Because it grows out of academic affairs and my background as an academic advisor and an instructor, the primary sort of element of the initiative are the advising appointments. So we have individual and group advising through our Center for Student Success, where faculty and staff and members of the campus community can refer students who identify as first gen to personalized academic advising and other kinds of advising support. And so then that mechanism serves as a kind of referral system to send students out to like our tutoring and academic support areas, to our psychological counseling area if and when needed, for our student athletes, supporting them by coordinating and working with the athletics academic support area and finding ways to bridge some of those efforts. And so students come to us for guidance and support through our advising mechanism. The second part of our initiatives have to do with mentoring campus community. And so this got stalled a little bit because of COVID, but what we have done is intentionally built a campus-wide mentoring community that comprises faculty who identify as first gen, staff, and other members of our campus community. So here's where we get a chance to bring in alumni and other friends of the university to lend support to students. Our mentoring program right now is in the stage of a kind of the non-traditional mentoring community, in that we do offer the one-to-one pairing, the traditional sort of mentor relationships, but we also found that students today often conceptualize mentoring in a different way and maybe aren't as receptive to those traditional sort of one-to-one mentee-mentor relationships, but would prefer a kind of group setting, a kind of collective mentoring situation, or other kinds of ways to intervene with mentoring aspects of mentoring that are beneficial. So then the third part of our initiative is the student club. So in 2019, a group of really activated first-gen students came to me and agreed to work towards getting recognized by our student activities area, our Office of Student Activities, to establish the First to Fly Club, which is designed to be the peer community building mechanism. So all the activities and programs and activities that are student-centered by students for students are taken on by our student club.
Well, that's fantastic, all the components you have going there. And it made me think of a couple of different educators, Tara Yoso and Christopher Emden, with what they're doing around capital and really bringing in community in the context, right, and getting it to more where it's not just a campus siloed process. So that's great. All right, Dina. You want to share a little bit about First Gen Forward?
Yeah, definitely. Monmouth University is a First Gen Forward institution. So First Gen Forward is the nation's first recognition program for institutions of higher education with a demonstrated commitment to first generation student success. And that looks very different at each institution, right? Because it speaks to the first gen population representation across the institution, the size of the institution, the geographic location. So we have a very diverse representation of institutions that have received this designation across three cohorts. There are a total of 215 institutions. And we're really proud in the way that First Gen Forward has grown, but also this dedicated community of practitioners, consisting of staff and faculty across the institution who participate really intentionally within the recognition program. And so through First Gen Forward, institutions participate in tailored professional development that's offered by the Center for First Generation Student Success. They also gain access to each other. We organize the institutions by regional communities, so specific to geographic location. The premise of that was thinking about common trends and student experiences specific to the geographic location. And so practitioners are able to meet on a monthly basis and they discuss their opportunities, their challenges, their successes, and many lessons learned. It's unique in that it becomes this space for sharing specifics about first-gen programming, how to navigate institutional buy-in, but also professional development for the first-gen professional, right? So making these connections with other folks who share the first-gen identity. So what we often find is that folks who are committed to the first-gen work also share the identity. And it's very full circle in that there's a strong desire to give back to a community that they share the identity with, share the experiences with, and certainly want to support the advancement of those students as well. And so through that, folks are able to discuss their own journeys and create community around their experiences as a student, but also as a professional. And so it's really a unique experience in that you get to advance the work at your institution, but you also get to advance yourself in creating these connections with others that share the first gen identity. And so through the workshops, through the webinars that they participate in, through the monthly calls, they also have an opportunity to complete a blog, which gets published to the center's website, and then we promote it through our social channels. And the purpose is to elevate awareness around initiatives that are taking place at First Gen Forward institutions to make others more aware within their community, but also beyond, as to what these institutions are doing and to support first generation college students. And to Claude's point, these initiatives, they vary across institutions. But at the core, it becomes this galvanizing opportunity within the institution and beyond to center the first-gen experience and voice, as well as discuss the hard conversations around or hard topics around dismantling systemic barriers that really impact first-generation student success.
And so,
Josh.
Not at all.
But just to add, because I think the success and the growth of our initiatives at Monmouth are very much due to the development of the Center for First Gen Student Success and the structure of their programming. And one of the outcomes of our participation and our involvement with the center is within the state of New Jersey, I'm seeing this emerging solidarity among practitioners and programs of first-gen support, this emerging solidarity that seems to transcend institutional boundaries, right? We have connected, so through First Gen Forward, I and the team of people who work with on first-gen initiatives here we've built relationships with other first-gen programs within the state of New Jersey, right? So schools in our region and who are doing first gen work, but are also recognized through First Gen Forward, we realize, hey, here in the state, what can we do to advance and elevate the conversation and the advocacy for first gen students beyond just what's happening on our campuses? Because of first gen students with the variety of experiences that they bring to their educational journey, we all know we're here to support them and we want to see them succeed across institutions. So irregardless of what institutional affiliation they have. So that's been really exciting because as Deanna suggested, I've been able to advance some of the work that I'm scholarly work I'm interested in by connecting with other practitioners through the center.
That's great. And I was going to ask Dina then, because for, you know, for a number of years now across different states, there's different versions of educational opportunity programs, EOP, in different areas, but that is quite often where relationships are built and different campuses have connections, but it's within that program. So now the last 5 or so years, we've seen such a growth in first generation students that other entities on campuses are trying to do things that are first generation focused. But then this is a great opportunity for campuses to develop those relationships and have people outside of those, you know, a sort of affinity groups that have already been in place for a number of years to do this work. So Dina, how can people join the First Gen Forward and get their campus involved?
Yeah, Josh, I appreciate you bringing up education opportunity programs. And similarly, TRIO has been in this space for decades.
Yep.
And really laid the foundation for what it is we know today as first generation student success. And so it's because of these initiatives and the funding that the government has created and allocated for these programs to exist that we understand the first generation student experience and how we then advance the work that was created decades ago. So I appreciate you bringing that up. In thinking about becoming a First Gen Forward institution, we will aim to open the application process for the 2022-2023 cohort in mid-October. So about a month's time, we will look to open the application process. And the application is one that we ask for collaboration across the institution. There are data points that we request, but more importantly, we want to understand what the institution as a whole is doing in support of first generation students. This might be specific to TRIO efforts, EOP efforts. It might come from a Center for First Generation Student Success, but there are likely efforts outside of those entities that exist at your institution. If you have a faculty mentoring program, maybe that's coming out of an academic college. If you have a living learning community, that might be coming out of your residence life. So just to really get an understanding, or to help us get an understanding of what's happening across the institution, because to Claude's point, as far as the opportunity to create these connections, we want for all of these entities at one institution to be working together. Sharing resources is a way in which we work efficiently, but also a way in which we create a community of support, and that's incredibly important. And so folks can find this information at firstgen.naspa.org. And come mid-October is when we will look to open the application process. We also accompany the application process with virtual meetings. We walk through the application. We talk about the First Gen Forward experience and the requirements of participation, because there are several, but it is a very manageable application process, and we leave it open for 2 months so that folks really have the time to gather the information and to synthesize it in a way that they want.
Excellent, because I know there's going to be more joining, right? You have how many? 213? Campuses?
215 across three cohorts.
Sorry for the two that I left out.
That's okay.
But yeah, 215. That's fantastic.
Amazing. So thank you both for sharing all that wonderful information. And yeah, I know we still have some resources that our guests want to share with us today. And so to learn a little bit more about the resources that are also going to show up on our show notes on our website, so you all will have access to the links and to get to know, research it a little bit on your own for our listeners. Claude, can you go ahead and share your resources for us and our listeners today?
Right. Thank you. So the first is the 9th annual Class Action First Gen Summit, which is held on November 13th. This year in 2021. This summit, Monmouth has been a co-sponsor of this summit over the last several years, and it is an educational opportunity and a community building opportunity for first-gen students. And the workshops and presentations are 4 first-gen students by first-gen students. The second recommendation I have is to follow the Black First-Gen Collective. I am following this group as well and participating where I can. What we learned at Monmouth about the first-gen identity is it's important as we unpack the intersectionality of the identity. The more we learn about how to meet our students where they are, the better we can serve them. And so this is a great resource for people who are interested in the Black experience of first gen. And then the last recommendation I have is a sort of verbal recommendation. As one of the first gen forward institutions, I think we've really gotten an education from following and researching the web pages and social media sites and handles of other first gen forward institutions and learning the variety of ways that they're doing the work that they do and getting inspiration and ideas from them. So thank you very much for the opportunity to join y'all today.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing those resources with us and as well as all the efforts that you yourself have done for first generation students and families as well. Dina.
Thank you. First and foremost, the Center for First Generation Student Success website, it's a resource accessible to all. There's no membership required to access any of the resources on the website. And so we welcome folks to visit, as well as to get an understanding of all the content that is there, particularly the Journal of First Generation Student Success, which is the first peer-reviewed journal that's focused solely on the first generation student experience. The priority deadline for the next issue is October 1. So if you have a manuscript that you'd like to submit, or notes from the field, we encourage that. I'd also like to raise awareness around First Generation College Celebration. It is the national event in celebration of the first gen identity and experiences. This is our call to every college and university across the nation and in some instances beyond, as well as into the K-12 and nonprofit and corporate sectors, to raise awareness and to celebrate the first gen student experience and graduate experience, and to elevate visibility for these amazing amazing students who are leading the generational change for their families. And so a huge thank you to Tessa and Josh and Claude also. Really appreciated being a part of this podcast.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. It's been a wonderful episode and great to learn more about each of you and about all the stuff you're involved with.
Awesome. So lastly, Josh, do you have any recommendations for us?
I don't have any this time around. I think we have plenty on this episode.
Awesome. So my recommendation is a podcast that I've recently come across. I have a lot to catch up on. They're on 12 seasons now. So the podcast is the Immigrant Lead podcast. And for me, it's really stood out because one, they talk about a lot of issues that have to do with the immigrant community, but they're also an independent women of color led podcast that release episodes every week. And they have a bunch of conversations in terms of, you know, people of color, change makers across that are cross-cultural change makers, bringing more light to that population into those communities. And they're also very brutally honest, and it's refreshing in the sense that they like to have a number of different opinions on the episodes too, which is amazing. So I consider it unbiased, which I really like to hear a little bit about everything. But that would be my recommendation for our listeners today. And with that, I would like to once again show my appreciation, my gratitude to our two guests and my co-host Josh. So thank you, Claude. Thank you, Dina, for being with us today and taking time out of your day to talk about this incredibly important issue for our first generation students, sharing your resources and your stories. So thank you all.
Yes, thank you both. Thank you, listeners, if you're tuning in, and hopefully you're looking forward to the next episode. Goodbye.